Father, we love you. Father, we thank you. You are our creator. You are our deliverer. You made a way when there seemed to be no way. Thank you for loving us enough to not give up on us. Thank you for sending Jesus. And Jesus, thank you for dying for us, for taking the judgment that was meant for us upon yourself, for bearing the sin that we are not able to bear. Thank you for the power that is in your blood. Thank you that you make that freely available, that forgiving power to everyone who calls on your name. And Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you for the service. We are expectant. We are excited. Show up and show off in this place. We are ready for whatever you would do in us. Root up out of us whatever needs to be rooted up. Establish whatever needs to be established. Shake us, elevate us, humble us, do whatever you need to do in us to transform us more and more into the image of our Savior King, so that the world can see him in us and be drawn to the foot of the cross. So my Lord, thank you for this morning. This is your service. This is your time with us. We expect to meet with God. Our expectation is nothing less than that. We love you. We love you. We love you. Amen and amen. 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 Hallelujah. 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 I am excited. I am excited because I know what the Lord has planned for you this morning. He is going to shake you up. He is going to dust you off. He is going to get you going again for him. Because some of you have become so stuck in your own lives. And I know life is full of problems. And sometimes very real, very distressing problems. But my friend, today I am here to remind you that you are in a place full of people who are lost and dying in their sins. And God has positioned you in your family, in your community, in your workplace, in your school, in your university, because he has great need of you there. Not just to use your talents well, to do things with excellence, to bring glory to God through that, but to be a witness, to be a witness, to be the person who proclaims that Jesus saves, to be the person that others come to when they are depressed and in need, because they know you believe in a God who can make a way when there seems to be no way. God has positioned you where you are to be a witness. So I am here to remind you of that, and I am here to encourage you, because every single believer, God fills every believer with his Spirit, and then his Spirit labors with every believer so that they can be an effective witness. I am an evangelist. I do not preach complicated messages. I leave that to the teachers and the prophets, and let's just admit the prophets confuse us all. My messages are simple. When I preach at our gospel crusades, I preach salvation, the sin that separates us from God, the blood of the Lamb that can wash away that sin and unite us with our Creator. When I have the privilege to preach to believers, my job is a bit different. My job is to remind you who you are so you take your rightful place in this world. You are blood washed. You are spirit filled. You should not be afraid of the devil. The devil should be afraid of you. And wherever you go, you should drip with the power and the presence of the Almighty One who sets every captive free. So this morning, I am going to touch a bit on the Holy Spirit baptism. I know most of you here are already baptized with the Holy Spirit because this is a good Pentecostal church. And you have wonderful pastors here. Can I just tell you that? Pastors Young and Daphne, Pastor Sabrina, Pastor Kevin, you are so overwhelmed with good pastors. You are spoiled here at Cornerstone. So I know most of you are already filled with the Spirit, but what are you doing about it? Are you just enjoying the goosebumps during praise and worship? Oh, no. Being baptized with the Holy Spirit is so much more than that. Let's jump into the book of Acts. A good evangelist always reads from the book of Acts. That's the test, if they are a true evangelist or not. The book of Acts chapter 1. And I'm just going to touch on here what Jesus said to his disciples before he ascended back up to heaven. So we'll read here from verse 4, Acts chapter 1. And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And then verse 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Singapore and in all Southeast Asia and to the end of the earth." Amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, say, "Neighbor, you are a witness. You are a power-packed witness." When God called me to be a crusade evangelist, He gave me a revelation of what it means to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Because I did not know much. And God threw me right into the thick of it, into crusade evangelism in Africa, where you find a demon behind every bush. I knew nothing. I had to learn as I was going. And it was a revelation of what it means to be baptized with the Spirit that gave me the confidence to go into places that, looking back now, I go, "Tamron, what were you thinking?" What does it mean to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? That word to baptize, that verb in the original Greek text, is the word baptizo. It simply means to take one thing and to dip, immerse, or plunge it into something else. When we are water baptized, that is what happens. Our pastor takes us, wades into the water with us, and then what does our pastor do? Our pastor dunks us. All of us goes under the water. If the pastor is nice, they will warn you to block your nose. Otherwise, not only will you go into the water, but some of the water will come into you. So you get dunked. You go under the water. When you come back out, you are sopping wet. You are dripping. You are covered with the water. It is glorious. You have died with Christ to sin. You have risen again with him. Hallelujah and amen. There is a great celebration. Now, my background is law. I have a law degree behind my name that I don't use. But in law school, I learned to pay attention to the meaning of words. If there is a word that is used in legislation or a contract, it was put there for a purpose. It was chosen because it carries within it a certain meaning. And you had better know the meaning or you will get caught out. So I find it very interesting. God knows that we would have this picture in our mind of what it means to be baptized with water. So when he chose to label this experience that every believer is to have after they have been born again, after they have been washed with the blood, after they have been saved, when he chose to label this experience, I find it very interesting that he chose that word baptize. The Holy Spirit baptism. Once you have been born again, the next step is for you to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Some people are blessed, they get it all in one shot. So what happens when we are baptized with the Holy Spirit? We know Jesus is the one who does the job. That's how John the Baptist introduced Jesus, the Lamb of God and the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. When we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, I picture it this way. I picture Jesus coming to us, putting his arm around us. You know, your pastor can say a quick prayer, but then your pastor had better get out the way because things are about to get hot. This is the work Jesus does. Jesus takes you, and then Jesus dunks you. Jesus immerses you, but not into water. Into the Spirit of the Most High God. You go into the Holy Spirit. He comes all over you. He covers you with himself. And then a miracle happens that for me is second only to the miracle of being born again. Because as you go into the Spirit, the skin, it can keep natural water out, but it cannot keep God out. So as you go into the Spirit comes into you. You soak him up like a sponge. You become completely saturated with him. So by the time Jesus pulls you up, you are covered with the Spirit on the outside. You are full of the Spirit on the inside. You have become completely inundated with the presence and the power and the personality of God Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that becomes your permanent state. Your permanent state. Wherever you go, wherever you are, at whatever time of the day it may be, that is who you are. You are power packed. So do you see now why you should never be scared of the devil? You intimidate him more than you could ever imagine. That is why he tries to sow seeds of fear. Because he knows if you come to the point where you fully realize who you are, he does not stand a chance. You know that. That saturation. We need to get a revelation of that saturation. You know, I often get the picture in my mind of a biscuit being dunked into a cup of coffee. Now, both of us, you in Singapore, us in South Africa, we both have some history with the British. Now, one good thing that the British left behind in South Africa is the tradition of dipping a biscuit into a cup of tea or coffee. Did they leave that behind here as well? It's an incredibly comforting thing. As the biscuit goes into the coffee goes into the biscuit, the two become one. And then when you bite that biscuit, you smell the coffee, you taste the coffee. It is an example of culinary perfection.
Amen.
That's what happens to you when you are baptized with the Holy Spirit. You get dunked into God. God comes into you. When the world encounters you, they smell God. They taste God. they experience God through your life. All of Him is in all of you. I prayed once. It was a prayer I had prayed many times before, but then one day the Lord interrupted me. I was praying, "Oh God, I want more of you. Oh God, I want more of you." And the Lord interrupted my prayer. He said, "Tamron, why are you praying such a silly prayer? All of me is already in all of you. You have all of me. You have all of me, but what are you doing about it?" My friend, once you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit, you are packed with all of God. But now you need to know what to do about it. How do you cooperate with the Spirit? How do you work with the Spirit so that He can use you as a witness? So He can use you like He used Peter and Paul and John? Because the incredible thing is the same Holy Spirit who was in them is the same Holy Spirit who is in us. We have not got a downgraded version. It is the same Spirit, the same God. So we need to know how to cooperate with Him so that as they change their world, so God can use us to change ours. Let's hop to John chapter 15. I want to read two verses here. John 15 verses 26 and 27. These two verses, they teach us something spectacular. Here Jesus is speaking about the Holy Spirit. He says here, verse 26, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning." What is Jesus saying here? He introduces the Holy Spirit as being the great witness, the one who is going to testify that Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus delivers. But then He turns to His disciples and He says to them, "You also are going to witness. You also are going to testify." So the Holy Spirit is going to testify, but the believer is going to testify as well. What is Jesus saying here? And you find this in scripture after scripture, the picture of God and man working together. Once you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit, you become His partner in the miraculous. You enter into a partnership with God. And like in any partnership, you have got certain responsibilities and the Spirit has got other responsibilities. Think about in business. Those of you here who are in some kind of business partnership, you both bring different things to the table. And if you bring what you are meant to bring to the table, then the partnership does well. The same goes with a sports team. In a sports team, different players have different roles, different positions, different responsibilities. The players need to know what their responsibilities are, and then they need to throw all of their energy into fulfilling their responsibilities. If every player does that, the team thrives, the team does well. If people start getting confused and try and do something that is actually somebody else's job, then there's chaos. So in this partnership of the believer and the Spirit, we need to know what our responsibilities are. So we know what to do. And this is a big reason why so many believers are not used by God, because they get confused and they're not quite sure what their role is. So they just play it safe and they don't do anything. So would you like to know what your responsibilities are? Give me a wave if you would like to know. Hey, you give me nice big waves. I've learned here in Singapore, the waves are sometimes like this. Let me tell you, you only have two responsibilities. This is how easy God made it for us. He made it so easy because He wants to use all of us. He doesn't want anybody to have any excuse. We have two responsibilities. Number one. Say to your neighbor, number one. If you're taking notes, write one. Your job is to open your mouth and tell people about Jesus. Sounds simple, but are you doing it? When last have you spoken to an unbeliever about Jesus? I'm not talking about believers now. I'm talking about unbelievers. Jesus loves you. I'm praying for you. I know you're having a tough week. God changed my life. He can change yours as well. Can I share with you how he changed my life? Inviting them to church. That Easter service is a fantastic opportunity. Would you like to come to church with me? I know if you meet with God, he is what you are looking for. As you share about Jesus from the heart with love, that is the only requirement that you do so with love. As you share about Jesus, the Holy Spirit inside of you, he then starts to do his job. What is his job? His job is to wrap himself around your words, to set them on fire with the power of God, and to write your words into the heart of the person you are speaking to. Because you are filled with the Spirit, your words are not natural words. They might sound natural to your ear. They might even sound a little foolish. You might even be stumbling over yourself and wondering, am I saying the right thing? But the Holy Spirit does his job. He sets those words ablaze. He pierces the heart of that person and he begins to work. He begins to convince that person that they need Jesus, that what you are saying is true, that they need to call on the name of the Lord, that they are seeking this relationship with God. And the incredible thing is, even after you leave them, the Holy Spirit doesn't leave them. The Holy Spirit, He is the supreme stalker. He goes home with them. And as they are tossing and turning in their bed at night, worried about many things, here he will bring your words to them. Maybe you should try Jesus. Maybe what you are looking for is peace with God. Maybe you should test this Jesus out. Maybe you should accept that invitation to go to church. Maybe you should call on the name of the Lord. Your job is to share from the heart with love. It is the Spirit's job to pack those words with power, to pierce the heart of that person, and to keep on working, to keep on convicting, to keep on convincing until the job is done. But you have to do your part. If you don't do your part, the Holy Spirit can't do his part. Every Christian in Singapore can pray for the salvation of Singapore, but until the Christians start opening their mouths and share with the unbelievers that Jesus saves, no one is going to encounter the Father. We have to work with the Spirit. Christianity is not for the lazy. It is for workers. It is for those who understand that they have been created by a supreme creator, and what he wants them to do, well, that is what needs to be done. So that's your first job, to share with people about Jesus. What is your second job? Turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor, number two. Those of you who are taking notes, two. What is your second job? Look at your hands. Most of us have two. Look at those hands. Your second job. When somebody has a need, maybe they are sick, maybe they are depressed, maybe they are anxious, your job is to offer to pray for them. And then you take one of those hands or both, and you put your hand on them and you pray in the name of Jesus. It's amazing how most people don't say no to prayer. You pray in the name of Jesus. Just make sure you throw in the name of Jesus. The rest of the words are fluff, decoration. Just make sure you attach the name of Jesus there. Whether you pray and you say, oh Jesus, please touch my friend. Please take away this fear that they are experiencing. Amen. Or whether you say, in the name of Jesus, fear, go now. Just make sure you throw in the name of Jesus. As you pray in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit responds to that name. He moves through your fingers. He gets into that person and he starts to do the work. But you need to pray. You need to pray. Now, many believers, they don't pray for people because when they get that opportunity to pray, the devil will come and he will whisper in their ear and he will say, But what if you pray and nothing happens? Have you heard those words before? It is his favorite trick. He knows those words, I am convinced, in every language on earth. What if nothing happens? And then most of the time, the Christian gets nervous and then they don't do anything. Next time, the devil tries that with you. You must say, Mr. Devil, you are behind in your Bible school classes. Your theology is bad. You don't understand how this relationship works. My job is to pray. It is the Spirit's job to work the miracle. So direct your question to the Spirit of the Most High God and get out of the way because I am going to pray. And then you pray with all of your heart in the name of Jesus. And whatever happens or does not seem to happen, my friend, that is not your concern. That is the Holy Spirit's job. Don't confuse your job with the Holy Spirit's job. Do your job and let the Spirit do his. You know, it's amazing because even after you finish praying for the person, once again, the Holy Spirit doesn't leave them. The Holy Spirit goes home with them. Never, never be concerned because you don't see an instantaneous change on the spot. Don't let it get to you. I know this from experience. I remember in one of our services, one of our crusades, a man came with a massive tumor on his chest like this. We were praying for healing as we do at every gospel crusade, and we prayed in the name of Jesus for that tumor to go. He left the field with the tumor still there. It looked like nothing had happened. But the Holy Spirit went home with him. And the Holy Spirit worked hard all through that night. Because when he woke up the next morning, guess what? It was gone. It was gone. The tumor was completely gone. We only know because he came to the next service and he told us what the Lord had done for him. Otherwise, I would still have to this day, I could have been thinking, oh, we prayed and nothing happened. Pray. Your job is to pray. It is God's job to work the miracle. Don't confuse your job with his job. This has been holding the church back. Do your job. Your job is to speak to people about Jesus. Your job is to pray for people in the name of Jesus. If you can just every day do that, my friend, God will do the rest. God will do the rest. And Singapore and Southeast Asia and Asia and the world will be saved. But we have to do our part. Ask the Lord every morning when you wake up, ask him, say, Lord, give me opportunities today. Because I know it is difficult in communities, in business, it is difficult to find those gaps. Ask the Lord to show you. And he will show you during the day those gaps that you can take, when you can say something, when you can offer to pray for someone. He will show you those gaps. And when he shows you those gaps, you take them. You take them. And the Lord will raise you up. And the Lord will change lives through your life. My friend, this is why you are here. Why is this your city? Why? Why? God has placed you here by His hand. He has placed you where you work. He has placed you in your family. He has positioned you because He needs you. He needs you. I know in Singapore there is a standard of excellence. I like it. I'm half German. It makes me very happy. Let's be excellent for God as well. Let's be excellent for Him. Let's be excellent when it comes to fulfilling the Great Commission. And the Great Commission tells us that every believer is to be a witness. And God doesn't expect us to do it alone. He fills us with His Spirit. So we do it with Him, partnering with Him all the time. We just have to speak and pray. Then we step back and we say, God, do only what you can do. And then He steps in and He brings the power. He does the work. We just have to play our role. And what a simple role it is. At the beginning, you will feel nervous. At the beginning, it will feel awkward. But as you keep surrendering yourself to the Spirit, my friend, oh, soon you will be flowing with Him. It will be the reason why you get up every morning. God, who can you impact through my life today? It is a privilege that goes beyond all privileges that the Creator would choose to partner with men and women like us. He could have just called on the angels and said, boys and girls, knock yourself out. No. He chose to partner with us because He loves us. And if you love someone, you enjoy working with them. He loves you. He wants to labor with you. Today, commit to working with Him. You have everything you need to be used by God. You have been filled with the Spirit of the Most High. What more do you need? He is the anointing sent from heaven. You are anointed. You are appointed. The instruction has been given. Now we just need to work. Amen? Amen. I want to pray for you this morning. Let's stand up to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. I want to pray for those who are not yet baptized with the Holy Spirit. I want to pray for those who are baptized with the Spirit, but you have been thinking it's about the goosebumps. And look, don't get me wrong. I love a good goosebump myself. I wouldn't be able to get through a single day if I could not feel the presence of my God. But God has recruited us as his children, yes, but also His labor force. And He needs us. Before I pray for that, though, I need to check that everyone here knows Jesus as their Savior. Why do we need Jesus? We need Jesus because a problem exists called sin. Why is sin a problem? It's a problem because even though God wants to come and live inside of us, the sin in us keeps Him out. Even though He wants us to go to heaven one day when we die, the sin in us pushes us out of heaven and we end up in hell. Why? Why? Why does this happen? You see, sin and holiness are opposites. God is very holy. He is perfect. There is no flaw. There is no blemish in Him. And sin and holiness are like light and darkness. They cannot live together in the same place. It is impossible. So that's why the holy God cannot come and live where there is sin. That's why when we die, we cannot come into his presence. The sin pushes us out. But this is not what God wants. This is why he sent Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, God put all the sins of all the world on him. My sins, your sins, all of it. And God judged Jesus in our place. Jesus died under the weight of that sin. But because he himself was perfectly holy, is perfectly holy, the Son of the Most High God, sin and death could not destroy him, but rather he destroyed sin and death. And he rose from the dead. And he proclaimed, anybody who believes that I died in their place for their sin, they will be deemed to have already been judged. Their sins will be taken away. My blood will come and wash them clean so God can come and live inside of them. And when they die, they can go straight to heaven. They will not face the judgment of God for their sins. They are free during this life and they are free for all eternity. Our choice is to call on Jesus. It's our choice. God gives us that power. So you can choose to stay with all of that sin on the inside, separated from God, doing life by yourself, fearing death, not knowing where you are going to end up. Or you can choose to ask Jesus to save you. And all those sins will be washed away. You will become God's house. When you die, you will go to heaven. Because my friend, that is the only way we can go to heaven, is if we ask Jesus to save us. Otherwise, we face the judgment of our sins for an eternity. And that is something that we wish on no one. So I want everyone here to close their eyes. And I want you to look into your heart. What do you see? What do you see in your heart? Do you see God? Is he there? Are you his child? Is Jesus your Savior? You are on your way to heaven. The Lord lives inside of you. You are doing life together. Or do you say, Tamron, when I look inside of myself, I don't see God. I have never asked Jesus to be my Savior. I see sin, I see shame, I see mess. You say, when I die, I do not know where I am going. There is no certainty in me that I will go to heaven. I do not like to think about death. My friend, if that is you, if you look inside of yourself and you do not see God, you do not know where you are going to go when you die, I want to pray with you so Jesus can become your Savior. If that is you, I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, I ask you to lift up your hand so I know who I am praying for. One, two, three. And lift up your hand if you want to ask Jesus to be your Savior. God bless you. God bless you. I see those hands. God bless you. God bless you. That is you. If you are lifting your hand, or you know you should have, I ask you to please come out of your seats and to come to the front so I can pray for you. I want to see who I am praying for. Please come. There are many of you. You won't be alone. Please come. Please come. Join me in front here. Join me in front. Please come. If there is any doubt in you, whether God is in you or not, you need to come. Do not leave this place still in fear. You are so welcome. Please come, please come, please come. You in the congregation, turn to your neighbor. Look your neighbor in the eyes. Say, neighbor, does God live in you? Ask your neighbor, come. Ask your neighbor, God, does God live in you? If your neighbor looks a bit confused, say, neighbor, I will go with you to the front. Come with me. Let's go together. And if your neighbor wants to come, bring them. You are so welcome. You are so welcome. Come, come. Amen and amen. You are so welcome. Please come. Please come.
This is your moment with your Creator, with the one who made you, with the one who loves you. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. Okay, you in front here, look at me. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, okay? We're all going to pray this prayer with you to support you. You just say these words strong. Say them with all your heart. Let's close our eyes. Let's pray with them. Say, dear Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you rose from the dead. And I believe there is power in your blood to wash my sins away. Please, Jesus, come wash me clean. Forgive me. Make me God's house. And when I die, take me to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. I am now a child of God. You are my Savior. My life is in your hands. Thank you for saving me. Amen. 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 Now, there are some wonderful people behind you. They are going to talk to you for 2 minutes, okay? And then you can come back into the service. So turn around. You will see they have big smiles. Let's clap for them. Let's clap for them. Let's clap for them. This is what church is all about. Now, if you are here and you say, Tamron, I am not yet baptized with the Holy Spirit. Or you say, Tamron, I am baptized with the Holy Spirit, but I thought it was about the goosebumps. I am ready to work. Or you say, Tamron, I am sick in my body. I need a miracle. Either in your body or maybe in your mind. Maybe you are struggling with depression or with an addiction. I want you to come because we are going to pray for you. Come. If you fit into any of those categories, please come. Please come. Or if you are here and you say, Tamron, I am already a witness. I am telling everybody about Jesus, but I want to pick up the pace. I want you to come as well. Please, if you fit into any of those categories, please come. Please come. God is going to touch you. If you are not yet filled, He is going to fill you. If you are already baptized with the Spirit, He is going to remind you of the power that is inside. Sometimes we need that reminder that we are power-packed. And that while we are waiting on God, He is actually waiting on us to open our mouths and to take that step and give Him the opportunity to use our lives for His glory. I'm going to pray one prayer over all of you first. And then I'm going to come down and your ministry team is going to come and we are going to lay hands on each of you. God knows what you need. He knows why you are here in front. And He is going to give you what you need. He's going to raise up evangelists here in Singapore who are going to crisscross Asia. He is going to send you out with power. You are going to be bold. He is going to raise up marketplace evangelists. You are going to preach Jesus in boardrooms. You are going to bring the light into dark places. Let's close our eyes. Let's raise our hands. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you baptize every one of your children with fire. Lord, we are here. We report for duty. I thank you, every one of your children here who is not yet baptized with your Holy Spirit. Oh my Jesus, come right now, put your arm around them and immerse.
immerse them in the Spirit of the Most High God. Saturate them with yourself, Almighty One. Pack them with your presence and your power. Wherever they go, let them be your vessels of glory. My Lord, those who are already filled, remind them of what they carry. Remind them that if they just open their mouths, if they just speak the name of Jesus, you will back them up with signs and wonders. That you turn ordinary words into supernatural words. You turn simple prayers into dynamite prayers. If we pray in the name of Jesus. Raise up evangelists, my Lord, evangelists who will crisscross Singapore, who will crisscross Asia, who will bring the gospel where the gospel has ever been heard. My Lord, raise up evangelists in the business world, men and women who are going to proclaim Jesus without fear, and you will promote them, you will elevate them, you will bring them before people in positions of authority, and they will speak your love, Lord, and your truth, my Jesus. My Lord, let signs and wonders follow them. Whenever they pray, oh my God, let them see miracles. Let the incurable become curable through their prayers. My Lord, I speak healing over every person here who is sick. Every sickness and every disease, I command you to bow your knee before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Be healed in the name of Jesus. I command every mind to be set free. Depression, go in the name of Jesus. Fear, go in the name of Jesus. Insomnia, go in the name of Jesus. I break every addiction off of you. Every chain, be broken in the name that is above all names. Keep praying. We are going to come lay our hands on you. Keep praying. Let's pray. Let's worship. Let's pray. Let's worship God.
Listen to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.